Okay, we are reading from the Zohar Saturday evening, Sunday morning. We're reading from the Parsha of Shlach Lecha, from the Zohar, section 1, verse 1. Section 1 is titled, Send Your Men. Vehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kodanei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kodaneihu. Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, Shlach lecha anashim, v'yaturu et eretz yam v'gomer. Rabbi Chiya patach v'miyamecha, tzivita boker, yidata hashachar, mekomo shachar ketiv, Heit rachaka mishachar. Mem tetela amar rabbi chia b'shata denate erev b'shim shanate lemeal kedein itchalash tukpein kedein shaltash semala umishtakach dinan. Bialma ve'it pashat ukdein ba'e barnash l'tzala'a ukabnad re'uta kamei marei. And Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, Send you men, that they may spy out the land of Canaan. Rabbi Chiya opened the discussion, saying, Have you commanded the morning? Since your days began and caused dayspring to know its place? A verse from Job. It is written, dayspring without the hay, without the definite article. Hay has been far from dawn. What is the reason? Rabbi Chiya said, when the evening shadows lengthen and the sun, that is Zeranpin, begins to set, meaning after midday, the strength of the sun is less powerful, which is Zeranpin. This is when the left rules, and judgment prevails, and spreads over the world. Then a person is required to pray and direct his desire to his master. Most people don't pray in the afternoon. Most of the Jewish people don't pray three times a day. And even those who do pray three times a day, it is rare that they attend a minyan for the afternoon prayer. In certain communities, it's quite often, but most people, they're running their business. They prayed their morning prayer, and they'll pray an evening prayer when they get home after work. But during the afternoon, they're focusing on their livelihood, their parnassah, and they don't want to be interrupted by the prayer. And this verse in the Zohar is expressing very clearly that this is the time that you need the mercy, and this is the time you should break off. The word that's used, required to pray. Now, all mitzvot is an obligation of all men, all Jewish men, but the idea that you're required to pray this particular prayer, and it doesn't mention the morning or the evening prayers, is an indication of how important the afternoon prayer is.
Well, can I make a comment?
Please.
I'm sure you...
Because you add so much to our conversations.
Well, thank you for that compliment. I don't know if that's... that I add so much. But I can tell you that among the more observant community in New York, doing mincha is extremely common. And almost... most of the companies have minions within them, and they do mincha within the company. In addition, you have places like Chabad of Midtown at 503 Fifth Avenue, which gets 200 people every day for mincha. So I would just say in the more observant, densely populated areas, mincha is highly observed.
Let me give you some perspective on that, and I agree with you. There are places and there are many people who do pray with a minyan and mincha. But let's put it in perspective. If we were to take the number of people who may pray in a minyan in the morning, and we were to say that that's 10,000 people in New York. Obviously, we hope it's more, but just putting a number to it.
Yeah.
And I would think that there's close to 10,000 people in the five boroughs praying in a minyan in New York. I don't think you're going to have 2,000 people praying in a minyan in their various places of work. I may be wrong, and I hope I am. But that's the point of this verse from the Zohar. It's Rabbi Ashlag taught in one of his letters, and more often in his speaking, he taught, if you want to know what's important, look to the Jewish community. What do they do? Which mitzvah do they do? That's the one that's not important. Look to the one that you can't find them to do. That's the one that's the most important. And the praying in the afternoon is actually more important, according to the Zohar, than praying in the morning, although both are important.
I don't know the various numbers and...
Yeah, no, I'm just...
I couldn't say.
No, you know, ask... if you ever take the time to go to a mincha service in one of the buildings, as you said, the Chabad Midtown, and ask them how many people...
Well, I know Chabad Midtown has the highest numbers mincha by far.
Okay.
Okay.
But that's because they're drawing from all of the
Well, that's because they're drawing from the Diamond District.
Right.
But I would say, in my experience, in the companies in my experience, in the companies owned by Orthodox Jewish people, they tend to do, some do more mincha, some do more sachrit, I would say. Some would be more sachrit because, you know, frankly, you're reading the Torah on 3 or 4 days a week, so some are more sachrit.
So you're reading the Torah on Monday and Thursday.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
You know, the basic issue is the Zohar is telling us here that it's a more important mitzvah to pray in the afternoon than in the morning. And while both are important.
Any reason?
Yes, because it's a frame of judgment in the afternoon. And we need the mercy in our lives. And prayer is a way of connecting to the energy of mercy.
Okay.
Section 2. The name that rules after midnight. Verse 2. D'amar Rabbi Yesa Kad Nate Shimsha V'itchalash Kedein It Petach Had Petichu B'Shimsha V'itkenish Chele V'ushmala Shalit B'Yitzhak Kare Beira Techote. As Rabbi Yeso said, when the sun is about to set, that is Eran Pin and is losing its strength, meaning past midday, an aperture in the sun opens, the door of the domination of the left, and the sun's power is gathered in. That is Eran Pin and the central column. And the left wanes. Isaac, who is the left column, digs a well underneath it, which is Malchut that suckles from the left, and then he establishes her. This verse is quite esoteric. If you remember in the Torah, Abraham dug seven wells at various places in his journey through the land of Israel. And Isaac found that those seven wells had been stopped up by the Philistines. So he redug them on his own. And so this verse in the Zohar is hinting at that, talking about Isaac digging a well underneath it. But Malchut is supposed to be central column, but it has no light of its own. So Malchut will draw from either judgment, Givurah, or Chesed, mercy. And in Yesod, we have the five Givurot that comes from the left column, and the five Chesedim that come from the right column. And depending on which is more powerful at the particular instant is what we're connecting to. And this is what's being expressed in this very esoteric verse. Verse 3. Kevan di'alelia pika dekutfa ve'achamate shekiyach bekama Chavilin tirikfa kan ipashatu bialma bekul hu satan beir vuvya biazle vechai kan benafshan derashiaya umod in lon milin minchon kedivan uminchon keshot Umandi ishtakach ke beinaihu it yehiv lon rishu lechav la bekulhu b'nei alma namin v'ta'amin ta'ama demota v'haukim na. As I'm reading, I was thinking, which I probably shouldn't do, but a quick question for you, Jack. How many Orthodox Jews work in the Diamond District? 10,000? $200 isn't a lot of people to get. When the night falls, the written edicts are in their pockets. Many harmful demons spread out in the world, which all roam around in confusion. They go about and mock at the souls of the wicked and inform them of various matters, some false and some true. If any person is found among them, they are given permission to do harm. Everyone is sleeping and tasting the taste of death, as we have already explained. This verse is bringing the verses from the Zohar where it's been explained that death, sleeping is 1/60th of death. This is a teaching from the Talmud and also from the Zohar. Now, this is an interesting aspect from this verse. If any person is from Rabbi Ashlag, so if any is found among them, they are given permission to do harm. And what Rabbi Ashlag is explaining is these entities that the Zohar is talking about, they have permission to hurt and cause chaos to people who are out and about when they shouldn't be. And so this is what's related to in this verse. The demons are out, they're running around, they're causing confusion, and then they're given permission to cause these people who they're finding understood. Do you need to go? Okay. Verse 4. Tachatzi kaditar ruach tzafon kidein itkabala Knesset Yisrael bismala v'itchabaru kachada v'sharya bidroa biatra'a v'kutcha barichu ate. The Ish Tasha Im Sadikaya Div Ginta Dieden Uktain Kolman Ditar Lemile Bioraita Behahu Behahu Shata Ha Ish Tataf Behada Begin Dehi Vekol Uklu Sin Dila Beshabachan Lemalka Ila avikoli nun diishtakahu betushvachta dioraita kulhu ketivin bivneche kala veikrun bishmachon veilein rishimin bimama. Come and see, when the north wind stirs, the congregation of Israel, which is Malchut, is received by the left of Zeranpin. They join together, and she rests in her place in the left arm. And the Holy One, blessed be He, comes to delight Himself with the righteous who are in the Garden of Eden. Whoever is awakened to study the Torah during that period is at participating with Malchut, because she and all her multitudes praise the High King, who is Zeranpin. All who are present at the praising of the Torah are registered among the inhabitants of the temple and are proclaimed there by their names. These are recorded during the daytime, that is, they are registered to receive chasadim, which is the quality of day, which is their unpin. What this verse is saying is those people who get up after midnight and study Torah, the metaphor is that Hashem enters the Garden of Eden and studies with the righteous people. The metaphor is that if someone is getting up after midnight to study Torah, as we are doing tonight, even if we didn't get up, but we just stayed up, what this verse in the Zohar is saying is that we are being written to receive mercy, chasadim, during the next morning, during the day. And this is not the reason that the Kabbalists get up at midnight, because they're doing it because it gives pleasure to the Creator. But for many of us who are not on this level, this knowledge that we receive chasadim by getting up after midnight can be a motivating value to help you move towards the level of the Kabbalist. By getting up at midnight, working at studying Torah after midnight. Verse 5. Tachatzi shemachada kadisha it biglufe atvan dehu shalta mipalgu leel yave elach beinu natvan kelach Sa'afa yo'a otsa min deman sapach kalil lon mem tzofi tuknuha l'sar bechamisra Nun hava astim lahai ulchai kedain bitrin kalilan havav dishma kadisha atkin le vesatim mabuaha patardioli dat tutitiha chavat bahad resha defidcha. Come and see that there is a holy name of carved letters that rules from midnight onward. It is of these letters, Kaf Lamed, final Kaf, Samach Ayin Pei He, Yud Aleph Ayin Vav Tzadik He, final Mem, final Nun, of final Mem, final Nun, final Tzadik, final Pei, final Kaf. Include them. Final Mem was explained in accordance with the secret of, for the increase, the Hebrew word is limarbe, of the realm, which is a word from Isaiah chapter 9, which is spelled with a closed final Mem in the middle of the word, which alludes to Bina during the domination of the left, when the lights are enclosed within her. Nun was hiding the one and the other, meaning the bent Nun, in the secret meaning of the Virgin of Israel, is fallen. The Hebrew word is nafla. She shall no more rise. A verse from Amos, which is very, a lot of commentary is about that verse, which conceals Bina and Malchut. For then the Sephirot were included, meaning that Malchut and Bina were included one within the other, and Bina was fallen like Malchut. The Vav of the Holy Name restored Malchut, which is the secret of Nun, and drew the left column upon her in the form of Vav. At that point she rises from her fall. However, it closed up her springs, since due to the domination of the left, the lights were congealed and frozen. Through this, Bina was concealed by the domination of the left column. That is why Bina is then considered a closed Mem. After Bina gave birth to the Vav of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is there on Pin, that is the secret of the central column, or Malchut gave birth to the soul, it became open in one end, meaning the closed final Mem was opened at the bottom and became an open Mem. This is a very esoteric verse. It's very difficult to understand. It's trying to explain the relationship of these 13 letters. It's basically saying, and I'm not sure I'm correct in this, but this is what is occurring to me at this moment. The final Mem represents Bina in a frame where it's not sharing. And it's not sharing because judgment is involved. And it won't share into judgment because the vessel isn't ready for its light. But then once it does start, once someone arises at midnight, and there is now time to inject mercy into this situation, the Mem opens itself by the Vav, which is the form of the Mem. The Mem is made from a Kaf and a Vav. Even in the final form, what looks to be four Vavs is really a Kaf and a Vav, closed, not letting any sharing out. Whereas when it's time to share, the Mem opens, the left arm of the Mem, of the final Mem, opens and lets out the sharing that is supposed to take place. Verse 6. Fadid Chariv Bemikt Makdusha Astimu Mabuin Mikol Sitrin Viaklil Advan Acharan Vinun Shiva Talat Mehai Sitra Viarba Mehai Sitra Kalech Yafa Vesiman Kulach Yafa Rayati Umum Ein Becha Nun Sofit Dekar Benuk Ba Kalil Kachada Da Kalil Tilat Mikan Utlam Plat Mikan Vinun Shit Viokim Na Bilein Tirein Atvan Mem en nun sofit, id kalalu, tele sar advan salik minaihu. Tere had le at had the hat le ahad. When the temple was destroyed, meaning when there was no union between Zeranpin and Malchut, when the temple was destroyed, which is Malchut, the springs of Malchut were blocked from all sides. That means it became a closed mem and that all her lights were frozen. The closed mem is comprised of other letters, which are seven letters from the holy name mentioned above. Three are from one side, which is Samech, Ayin, and Vav. And four are from another side, which are Aleph, Ayin, Tzadik, and He. Kaf, Lamed, final Kaf. Oh, excuse me. The four letters are Aleph, Ayin, Tzadik, and He. Kaf, Lamed, final Kaf, Yod, Peh, He, remain from the holy name. This is derived from "you are all fair." The Hebrew is kulach, kuf lamet final kaf. Yafa, yud peh hey, my love, there is no blemish in you. It's a verse from Shir HaShirim. That is the secret of the final nun, alluding to male and female in one composition. Final nun is composed of three letters from this side, which are kaf, lamet, and final kaf, and three from that side, which are Nun, Kaf, Pei. So there are six letters. We explain that these two letters, final Mem and final Nun, include the 13 letters of the holy name, Kaf, Lamed, final Kaf, Samech, Ayin, Pei, He, Yud, Aleph, Ayin, Vav, Tzadik, and He. Since two aspects result from them, one aspect is in one letter, which is final mem, and one in another letter, which is final nun. Two, five, seven, six is 13, seven is 20, eight, 33, 34, 35, 42, 48, 55, 60. I honestly don't understand. I mean, I understand the surface words saying that the mem and the nun sofit, or the final mem and the final nun, are inclusive of these 13 letters. And these 13 letters are the 13 attributes of mercy that become active after midnight. But I don't understand the gematria relationships of how these 13 letters are inclusive in these mem and the nun. So I need to think about it and kind of dwell upon it. What I was trying to do just now was to perhaps it was the small gematria, but the small gematria of these seven, the small gematria is 60, whereas the gematria of Mem and Nun together is 90. So I'm not following how it's arrived at. Verse 7. Kalech sa'apha yo'avatsa haki. Wait a second. Okay, I just made the connection of the gematria. The small gematria of these 13 letters, Kaf Lamed, final Kaf, Samech Ayin Pei He, Yud Aleph Ayin Vav Tzadi He. Which are 14 letters. The small gematria of these 14 letters is 63, which relates to Bina. And then Bina is the union or the mother of Zeranpin and Malchut as the concept of it being in unity. And that is the way these numbers are being related to these letters. So the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut includes these, the connection to Bina. I'm continuing to read verse 7. These 14 letters, Haki itkalifu advan veraza dabaki tetsa lemilchama kiradiktiv ki hiyenara betula na arkitiv. Batar v'yistalak lelya b'tzafra nahir k'dein Hashem salka v'itkalilat b'inchora ila'a uk'dein yidata ha-shachar mikomo diyadai shachar mikomo d'he v'itkalilat b'gat. Kaf Lamed final Kaf, Samech Ayin Pei He, Yud Aleph Ayin Vav Tzadik He. These were the letters engraved. 13 letters. That is the secret meaning in the portion of Ki Tetzeh of the words. If a girl, the Hebrew is Na'ara, that is a virgin, which is spelled Na'ara without the He. After the night is gone and the morning light shines, the He ascends and is included in the letter above. Then it is said, and caused dayspring to know its place. Dawn, which is there on pin, knows the place of the hay, and the latter is composed in it. This verse is bringing the beginning verses of this section all around and completing them. The lower worlds, in the metaphor of the tetragrammaton, the vav and the hay. The He is included within the Vav because a gematria of 6 is greater than 5. And to get to 6, you have to pass through 5. When midnight comes, the energy of Chesed starts to flow into the universe. That energy is the Vav. It's there on pin. That energy is raising the Malchut level to be inclusive within it. It's protecting people from judgment. These 13 letters that I've been mentioning, which are is the name of God that is, becomes active in this period after midnight, is all related to this, and it's all related to the final mem and the final nun. All of these verses in the Zohar in this section trying to bring it and come and bring it. You want to go through another two pages? We're out of time. I'm sorry. Do you have any questions or comments, Jack? I'm not hearing you. Not hearing.
It seems that the section emphasizes the importance of praying and studying after midnight to engage the protection of the chesed that comes out after midnight.
Correct.
Seems like that's the main emphasis of this section.
That is correct.
Which is an important lesson. Worth knowing.
Very much so.
I think it's a helpful section. There's, as you said, there's a lot of technical aspects, but the main point is easily discerned.
Yes.
So I think that's great.
And I'd just like to finish one other aspect. I've been studying like this for a little over a year or so, actually close to 2 years. And some people who have listened to me, who have participated in the studies with me, have leveled a constructive criticism. When I don't know, they don't like that I tell them I don't know. And when I don't know, and I'm fumbling around like I did in this, I'm honest, I didn't know. But thoughts occur and I follow them through. People have suggested that I not do that because it lowers and diminishes the respect to the teacher. I've thought about it. Let me finish.
Sure, go ahead.
And I've thought about that since it was said to me over a year ago. And I just don't, I'd rather tell you I don't know, and I'd rather then try and work it out, because I am not a Kabbalist. I'm a student of Kabbalah. I'm working at getting closer to Hashem, just like each and every one of my students. I may have more experience, I may have more knowledge because I've read the Zohar for a longer period. But ultimately, each and every one of us has a desire to get closer to Hashem. And the way to do that is an individual path, which means an individual perception of what the Zohar is saying and what the Tanakh is saying. And so I just want to clarify, if I confused you with what I was saying in this section, I apologize, but I think that's really the process of what I need to be doing. Jack?
Okay, well, if I can comment on that, it didn't bother me or confuse me at all. I think you're doing exactly the right thing. I have been a professor at NYU, at Beijing University, and the first thing I say if I don't know something is, I don't know that. I think when I went to Harvard, the first thing you say is, I don't know that. Because some people know more than other people, and the only way you learn is by admitting that you don't know something, and then somebody may tell you, or you may be able to figure it out, reason it out. And I mean, I've had lots of times when I say, I don't know that, and then as I think it through, I'll say, let me think it through for a second, and then I'll come up with the answer. I don't think it diminishes the teacher at all to say, in fact, I think it elevates the teacher when he says he doesn't know something. It just proves that he's human, and nobody knows everything.
Amen.
I object more so to the teachers who say they know things when they really don't. And I think that's much more dangerous when they present that they know something or are certain about things. And look what's happened with our economy or so many other aspects of our life where our teachers have told us they understand or know something and they don't. And they've been overconfident. I think that's
very true.
Yeah.
So. You have a beautiful week. Thank you for studying.
Thank you.
And
my pleasure.
It was a good class, good session.
Good class. Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.